What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Off the Record. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and as always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, and to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All the details are on our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. Now, first, of course, we've got the news.
So things are kind of getting back to vague little normal in the world of country music. Lauren Akins has released her first book, Live in Love. It's a memoir detailing her life with Thomas Rhett, her children, her faith, and more. So definitely get a copy of that as soon as you can. Ashley Campbell has announced that she'll be releasing her second record, Something Lovely, in October. We can't wait for that. We've had a sneak listen and it is phenomenal. So definitely get excited for that one. Dwight Yoakam and his wife Emily Joyce have welcomed their first child, so congratulations to them. Tennille Towns and Riley Green won their ACM New Artist of the Year awards. They were both told the news by Keith Urban over Zoom, and it was just such a special one. The video's on YouTube if you want to check that one out. Luke Combs also announced that he will be releasing a deluxe version of his sophomore album, What You See. Well, it's going to be called What You See Ain't Always What You Get, on October the 23rd. So there's been a lot of speculation about what that one's going to include. And in terms of releases for this week, make sure to go and check out Tim McGraw's new album, Here on Earth, Jerry Castle's new single, Lauren Elena's new single, Getting Over Him, and Brothers Osborne's new track, Skeletons. And that's been your news for this week. Now, we've just got a short interview for you guys this week, which is with the wonderful Donovan Woods, talking about his new music, what's kind of in the pipeline for him, and more. So please welcome Donovan Woods to the podcast.
Hey, good, Amazon. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thanks. How's, I guess, quarantine and getting back to normal? Have you been able to get back on doing live shows at all yet?
We're not doing any shows. I'm doing a drive-in show in a couple of weeks where everybody's in their cars.
That'd be an interesting one to navigate.
Yeah, hang on. I can't get excited for it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a weird new normal, isn't it?
I don't know. Everybody listening to their radios in a car? Is that cool? Everybody seems to be excited about it, but I can't find the excitement. And apparently they honk their horns to clap. Like, that sounds shitty, but I guess we'll see.
Oh, God, the weird new normal. How's it been? It must be very weird in terms of, like, headspace and for songwriting, because obviously you're probably so used to being, you know, out on the road and not being in the same place. So has it been very strange being in one place, and kind of have you been able to songwrite much during this time?
I mean, this is the longest time I have been in one city for a decade. And that's true. That was true when we were here for like a month and a half. Yeah. I think, you know. My writing is not really. It's more dependent on locating inspiration on my own. I read a ton, and certainly at the beginning of quarantine, I didn't give a shit about writing songs. I just couldn't find any motivation. But I'm getting back into a spot where stuff is coming again now. I don't know. I don't know whether it's tied to world events or not. I don't know. I just think it's more to do with myself.
Yeah, and obviously, Clean Slate is now out. What's it kind of been like? Sort of, can you talk about first a bit about the single and kind of what inspired it? Because I know it really came from a very raw place.
Sure, yeah. It was like sort of the feelings of falling in love and being in love again for, you know, the first time in a while. And that sort of, open sky feeling of those first few days where you feel like anything's possible, that you may be able to become a brand new person. And before you realize that's impossible.
Yeah.
Those moments before you realize that you're just the same person.
And also, I know you've talked about that you're taking a really new approach, and obviously with everything happening at the moment, particularly, you know, all around the world, really, you're supporting Black and Indigenous business communities with this, which is just incredible. Kind of how did you decide to go about that, and what does it mean to you to be able to give back?
Well, I think that art that's released right now, or art is a reflection of us, you know, in the time that we create, it's important to include the context of what's going on in the world in the release plans. I think asking anybody for their attention right now is a big ask, you know,
like we're
in the middle of probably the biggest human rights movement of our lifetimes, yeah. and also in the middle of a pandemic that's going to be sort of our, you know, maybe our generation-defining incident. So I think sort of, you know, coming to anybody and asking for money or attention or is tough to do if you're not acknowledging the context of the sort of extraordinary time in which we're living.
I think that, yeah, it's important, and it's kind of, yeah, it's a funny time because it's kind of like you kind of have people's undivided attention, but it's also, there's so much going on that almost feels like, yeah. And
well, certainly it feels self-centered to talk about yourself at all, especially as a person who comes from, you know, certainly come from the privilege of being a white straight guy who, you know, has not suffered in any way. So I think suddenly, you know, writing a song about how you're in love and then saying like, hey, everybody look over here at me. It's not the easiest ask.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be the only one, but yeah, I think it's incredible that you're doing that and kind of shifting the focus and using your platform to be able to do that is just amazing. Do you think this will build into a bigger project? Kind of, what are you gonna? Is this laying the groundwork for more singles to come, or what do you think?
Oh yeah, there's more singles to come in the there's one next month and then the month after, and then we've got a record that's gonna come up before the end of the year here.
Yeah.
I don't know what the exact date is.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone knows how long anything is in the moment. So
yeah, that's the truth.
You've always had this really I would sort of call it like relatable, it's vulnerability, but you're very measured with the way that you write in terms of, it's not melodramatic, it's very almost deliberate. I can't put my finger on it, but has that come naturally, do you think, that kind of form of your songwriting?
I think that I have always, the people that I grew up loving were the most plain spoken writers. And even when I look through, I don't have an attraction to poetry in lyric the way that some people do, and I'm sort of allergic to anything that's poetic, you know. There's that type of songwriter language that exists that gets sort of trodden and ends up being in a lot of songs. I mean, the most obvious ones is like words like the morning light, you know, these types of things that vocabulary doesn't really exist in anybody's day-to-day language.
Yeah.
And I sort of am always allergic to it and always trying to rid all my lyrics of anything that is songwriter language.
Yeah, which is interesting because I feel like you can come at it either from one or two ways in terms of the relatability and just kind of like leading with what you authentically feel, or you can lead with that poetic aspect. So it's interesting hearing that.
Yeah, I just think I'm an English major, and I love a big reader. I love reading, and I just have a real sensitivity for words. And there are just words that, even when I'm co-writing, if somebody throws out a particular word, like for instance, kiss.
Yeah.
I can't have it in a song. I just it just does something to my spine or something.
Yeah, but that probably keeps you different and keeps your sound, your songwriting very authentic and different. Yeah, I guess that's the only way to describe
it. I hope that the lyrics are things that people have not only thought, but things that they've literally said out loud, you know.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that, considering how much, you know, how much success you've had with your songwriting, and you know, with Tim McGraw and Tennille Townsend and all these different people. How do you kind of decide, I guess, what to give away and what to keep? Because some songs must be so personal that it kind of is weird, not weird hearing other people sing them, but almost it's your story in someone else's voice.
It is weird in some instances, but the truth of it is that if you really like the song, like there isn't, artist friends of mine all the time say to me, I have a lot of songs that I'm not going to use. Should I just send these to country artists? And I always think, if you don't like them, no one else is going to like them. The truth of it is that if you love it, other people will love it.
Yeah.
If you're lukewarm on it, other people will be lukewarm on it. The songs that other artists of mine have cut are songs that I loved and I really wanted to do myself. And then I thought, you know, if they want to do it, I'll give it away. You know, it's all sort of the same thing. And I do sort of try to be as unprecious about it as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Meaning that I just sort of think, give it away and hopefully something new will come.
Yeah. And kindness is, I guess, building into that, when you're kind of creating your own records, is, do you have a process in terms of like the ones you choose and what you want to put out there? And for the next project, I guess, do you have a concept of what you want it to look like, or do you kind of just lead out with I want to just put out the best songs that I have? And
yeah, I mean, the sort of penultimate judge is I want to put out the best stuff that I've written. But there is, like, you know, there is, you sort of find the way you want the record to sound. And I, listening to the record before this one, it was very big and very demonstrative. And listening back to it, I felt like it was, I was really desperately trying to be liked. And I wanted, this time I wanted to make a record that didn't have that, that didn't include that sort of desperation.
So will this one be much quieter, do you think?
It's quite a bit quieter. Yeah. Clean Slate isn't really representative of it. It's maybe the most bombastic one. But this one's quite a bit more hushed, and there are tiny little songs and little acoustic songs. And so it's, you know, I just sort of lead by the way the record starts. When the record starts to take shape, you just let that lead you in what songs you choose.
I feel like it sounds like also it's the right kind of sound for right now. I feel like it probably sit quite well with people, given the current climate.
Yeah, I hope so. The people that have heard it so far have said to me that they found it fun to think about, fun to feel, you know, small little tiny emotions rather than feel the sort of daily outrages that we're feeling.
Yeah, it'd be nice not to feel. Yeah, nice to have a bit of a distraction, I guess, from the emotions that are going on right now. Well, yeah, I'm just really excited to hear the rest of the music and to kind of see where this year takes you. So I hope the driving concert goes well and everyone kind of honks their horns or whatever. But yeah, I hope it goes well. And so just best of luck with everything.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much
for your time. Okay.
Take care.
So thank you so much to Donovan for that. And that will do for another episode of The Record. Make sure to tune in next week, where we've got the lovely Exit 216 on the podcast to talk about their debut single, Brother.